Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Raw spaghetti you can eat with a spoon. SpaghettiOs.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it.
No soup for you. No soup for you. No soup for you.
Feed me more.
Long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Welcome, everyone, to Small Bites. This is John Howard Fusco. I know you might have been expecting Donato here, but Donato is on assignment. I guess we'll put it that way. He has a gig tonight, so I'm here. John Howard Fusco from Eating in South Jersey, also writing for the Courier Post. And sitting next to me is...
Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. And you forgot to mention your book, John?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Culinary History of Cape May.
It's shore season, my friend.
I know, it is. And it's still 99.9% accurate.
That's the best part, 99.9% accurate. But you will get that letter from that 0.1% person.
Absolutely. Someone will say, you have someone in that in the book, and they're no longer there. I'm like, yes, I know, I know.
But it's great to see you, pal.
It's good to be seen.
It's wonder that usually we say, oh, and here's John, and I usually pronounce the name wrong. It's a lot easier when you're in studio.
Yes, and I'm sounding like someone's holding a gun to my head, and I'm running through the food news. And
nice and relaxed here. And you even did the show before us.
That's right. That's right. So I'm already in good speaking voice.
Oh, no, I just got to get warmed up. But talking about blogs and things like that, you had Eating in South Jersey. We got someone else in here who's got a very popular blog.
Absolutely.
Mark Matthews of the 42 Freeway blog. And John here, he's been mentioned in the New York Times. You've also been mentioned in print media by the Philadelphia Inquirer, congratulating you on all the wonderful work that you do. How's it going tonight, Mark?
It's going great. Thanks for having me here tonight. This is my, you know, I do some videos on my blog, but I can make mistakes and cut and go back. This is my first time live, so I'm a little nervous about that. But
well, the good thing us to see so you do videos. We realized at a very early stage that this is a face made for radio. So no videos needed here, sir.
Yeah. It's a line I use all the time, yeah. But, yeah, Kevin Reardon, he stumbled onto me last year, you know, Washington Township Post that I had done, and I was doing some blogs about the roadway construction going on in 295, that mess that everybody complains about in Belmar area, and that grabbed his attention, and he came in and did a story, and we talked about the retail that I do, the restaurants, the, you know, just all the new things and the things you ask questions about. So that's what the blog's about.
What started the blog?
Man, I've been slow rolling this for 10 years. I grew up in Belmar, and there's that landfill in Belmar. And 10 years ago, there was the rumors. If you lived in South Jersey long enough, there was a rumor that Bass Pro Shops was going to come in and all this crazy development. And I heard that story, but there was nothing in print, nothing in the town. So I just started researching it. And when I found out some details, they were going to do some crazy things, build 5,000 townhomes. And I said, nobody's saying anything about this. So I started a blog. And actually, my first story, I fed it to the Courier Post. And then I said, wait a minute, if I'm going to get this information, I want to take the credit myself.
Sure.
So I just started.
Pay me.
Yeah,
really.
So, like, you know, I moved to Deptford like 5 years ago, which is really like the center of retail in.
Do you just usually see which towns have landfills?
Exactly. Yes. You know, and ironically, I literally do live like near Kent, landfill. I moved to Deptford and I realized, you know, with the a lot of Deptford construction going on, the outlets are opening. I said, wow, I'm in like the heart of this. And the funny thing is, I would write blogs about my town, about the taxes going up, and you think people would care, right?
In Jersey, I mean, it's just like, it happens.
Well, let me tell you the opposite. I'd get more action over the Taco Bell opening. People were more excited about the Taco Bell coming to Gloucester Township than they were that their taxes are going up 3%.
But that's the problem. That's why they keep rising.
Exactly. No one's watching the store. So I said, all right, I'm going to do a blog. And I'm just going to pick the positive things. People want to know about the Hobby Lobby, the new bar, the new brewery. And I just focus on that. And I have a knack for finding things in advance of the rest of the the media or the public. So
it comes from by looking at your blog. A lot of it comes from council meetings and things like that. Like you're scouring the notes and researching it. Mm-hmm. Truth be told, that's a lot of boring stuff that goes in there, but it's really important stuff because it's what's going on in the towns.
I do. I hear little things. I just have a knack for I was in one council meeting and they made a secondhand comment about somebody buying this property next to the Deptford landfill. And I went and researched and I find now I just did a story today where they're going to build like a 1 million-square-foot warehouse in there.
Really?
And it sort of started from just an offhand comment in a planning board meeting that wasn't even an agenda item. So people are going to be real happy about that one, I think.
Awesome. And the corridor that you cover, it's thousands upon thousands of commuters. It's the heart of rush hour, pretty much, the 42 corridor. And
yes.
It's feeding restaurants and shops and things like that you mentioned. And you always get a lot of hot tips. And I always like to see, as you mentioned, like the restaurants. And you had one today, 373 American.
Right.
And it seems Washington Township popping them out left and right.
Oh, yeah.
They really are. You know, I've talked a little bit about some non-retail things, restaurant things, but that's really what gets people excited. I like the stories that's going to get a person in their car and drive to check out a restaurant. You'll drive to check out a brewery, you'll drive to check out a restaurant. And Washington Township, they got a bunch of things popping right now. A couple of restaurants that had closed over the last couple of years have reopened in the last few weeks. The 373 American Grill just opened on Memorial Day, which that gentleman is one of the chef preparers from the Italian Affair out of Glassboro came down. And then Pesci opened a little closer to Kennedy Hospital and took over the old Macaroni Grill place. So that opened about 2 months ago. And those are both locations that were closed for a couple, maybe years. So it's great to see them open up again.
And John, you even mentioned before the show that you visit 42 Freeway, and you've mentioned the blog and sometimes during your news segments.
Absolutely, because when I try to do my news segment in the beginning of the show, it's mainly Philadelphia, it's a Philly-centric show, but I try to give, South Jersey a little love too. And it's just great because that part of South Jersey doesn't get a lot of coverage. It really doesn't. So your blog really fills a need, I think.
Thank you very much. The Route 42, you said there's a lot of traffic there, but it sort of goes in and out of the county. Like you start off in Camden County, you cross over to Gloucester County, you come back into Camden County, then you go back to, it's just not a cohesive, we see it as commuters, as a cohesive piece of road and commercial, but I don't think anybody else sees it that way.
Yeah.
So I try to tie that together, I think. And people in Gloucester Township are interested in the new bar coming into Washington Township and vice versa. So,
and also, we got a lot of positive feedback, and even Chef reached out to us for when you covered the Wing Kitchen.
Yes.
And he was thrilled of the coverage that you provided for them and said that as soon as it came out, they were getting a lot of butts in the seats.
Excellent. I love to hear that. I love, people reach, it's nice when the business owners come back to me and, give me feedback commentary that, it really was an impact on them. I'm not charging anybody for any of these blogs. I just enjoy doing it. Hopefully I can find a way to make money with advertising down the road, but it's great to get that feedback.
Yeah, and Timothy Witcher, he's a great guy, so we were thrilled to have that happen for him. And what do you envision the next step for 42 Freeway? Do you see it staying blog-centric, more videos, heavy in social media? What do you envision?
I'm evolving that. In the Philadelphia Inquirer article, they comment, I also own MarltonPike.com, which is crazy, right? If you're on a business from Route 70 in Cherry Hill, they all use Marlton Pike as their address, but nobody had that domain a year ago. I grabbed that just a year ago.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, if I take the pattern of 42 Freeway and do that in Cherry Hill, Marlton, Mount Laurel, I can go. The problem is it doesn't scale. I'm writing all the content myself. I'm finding all the articles. So I'm not really sure where I'm going to go with that. So back to what Tim was saying, I'm looking at maybe taking the 42 Freeway name and turning it into maybe a YouTube blog, video blog, and just use that name but sort of expand wider and just go commercial retail restaurants in South Jersey. And I think I can handle that better than if I also own LandisAvenue.com. I have all these. I own WhitehorsePike.com.
Really?
I have all these.
You've got all South Jersey.
Wow.
If I had 10 of me, I could do it. I'm pretty sure.
You set a studio up in that house. You just get weather and traffic, and you'll be set.
Yeah.
But Mark, it is a pleasure to have you on. And
thank you for inviting me.
We're big fans of 42 Freeway. Yep. Do you want to share the website or social medias or anything like that?
You know what? It's I stumbled on the name. I think it's a great name. It literally is just 42freeway.com. On Facebook, it's /42freeway. It gets a lot of it. The people love commenting, reading, sharing. You know, just a simple post about a new restaurant can be shared 400 or 500 times.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, 50,000 people looking at these things over the course of a month. So it's fun. It's almost as fun to read the interaction with the readers and what they're saying. And some of it's a little crazy. Most of it's awesome. They're mostly complimentary. And so it's a lot of fun on the Facebook page.
That's great. Thank you so much for coming in. And that was the Jersey side of things, as they say, John. And then to mosey back over to my hometown, Philadelphia.
Let me switch my side here, okay?
We'll just go directly over to Bridge. And we've got Jessica Jenkins, and she is the Director of Marketing and Communications for FCM Hospitality. And you couldn't get any closer to Jersey than one of the locations that she handles, and that's Morgan's Pier. I mean, it's right on the waterfront, right next to the bridge, in matter of fact. So how's things going tonight, Jessica? And tell us a little bit about Morgan's Pier.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Yeah, Morgan's Pier is one of our outdoor seasonal spaces. We have about 9 locations, bars, restaurants, and pop-up spots like Parks on Tap is one of the most popular ones that we have. But Morgan's Pier is really close to the water. You're literally sitting right next to it. The bridge is right there in view. It's just a beautiful, beautiful space. And you can enjoy food, drinks, and entertainment throughout the summer. We open from April to October. So you only have that amount of time each year to enjoy it.
Yeah. So besides the location, which is a beautiful location, what makes your spot unique as far as Morgan's Pier?
We really have amazing food. So each year we have a new chef that gets featured. This year it's John Adair. And sometimes we bring in rotating pop-up chef opportunities, takeovers and things like that. We're going to be announcing some stuff over the next couple months. So stay tuned for that information. So it's really interesting to have that kind of shift in the food each summer. And then we also have really popular drink specials and things that we do for the bar as well.
Now, with the chef, I know one of the things that most of the staff enjoys is the trying out of the menu to say, okay, does this work? What do you like? What are some of your favorite menu items there?
Yeah, I have to mention the fat breads. And you heard that right, fat breads. So it's basically what it sounds like. It's a big fat bread with delicious topping. So it's kind of like a typical flatbread, but with a much thicker crust. And I enjoy the really cheesy ones because they just are melting and delicious when you eat them.
Well, sounds like a beer would go well with that. So tell us about your exclusive beer that you have at Morgan's Pier.
So we have the Pier Beer. So one of our brewery partners is Mainstay Independent Brewery. They operate out of our craft hall location, which we'll talk about a little bit as well. And they do some exclusive beers for us across the location. So this is the Pier Beer. It's a German beer with a hint of coriander. And then we also have our Parks on Tap Pale Ale as well. So they work a lot with us to create some custom opportunities and options for the summer.
That's awesome. And now with the Race Street Pier, and they also have the condos right across the street, which are beautiful. It's more popular than ever to go down in that area. And with the amount of residents now living down there, we all know everybody's going to have their man's best friend along with them. Fido will be along, and it's a dog-eat world out there, John. Are dogs welcome at Morgan's Pier?
So we have once a month a yappy hour.
Yappy hour.
I know. Nice. Isn't that just so fun? Yappy hour. So the next one is actually coming up on June 3rd. It starts at 4 p.m., and it's sponsored by Tito's Vodka, and the proceeds from some of our special drinks go back to the SPCA. So we also partner with a lot of nonprofits for our locations and try to do different things so that we can give back to those locations and back to the community. So you're welcome to bring your dog, enjoy a beer, and really enjoy that night. June 3rd is the next one.
All right. So the dogs have a special event. So let's talk about for the humans. What are your special events?
John! Maybe cats?
We don't talk about cats.
Well, that movie's coming out, the Life of Animals or something like that.
So we have different things happening at the pier every day. So we have DJs, we have acoustic sets, we have bands play. We also do karaoke, Quizzo, we do beer fests. Those are monthly where we feature different beers locally. We have Soul Cruisers, which is one of our popular bands that's there once a month. Salsa, and then, of course, the Yappy Hour as well.
Nice. Wonderful.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And also, I heard whispers. There was some talk going on, and someone told me that we should come out to Morgan's Pier this weekend. And why is that?
We just have so many interesting things going on with the karaoke, the Quizzo, and then our mini beer fest that feature the local beers as well. And all of our events are listed on Facebook and on our website at morganspier.com. So you can look up all of those really interesting things that are going on.
That's cool. And also a little further down the road, you must just own the street down there because
you
have another one of Philly's most popular destinations right now, and it's new, and that's Craft Hall.
Right.
So where is Craft Hall located? Obviously, I've given a little bit of a hint of where it's at. Mm-hmm.
Well, you really can just walk down the street. I have done that. I've walked between locations for different things that are going on. It's right at 901 North Delaware Avenue. Many people will recognize the space as the old Yards Brewery. So we took it over and took down a bunch of walls. It's three times as large. And we have our brewery space in there, the Mainstay Independent Brewery, and then we also have Lost Bread Bakery. So they operate out of that space as well, and then the entire kind of maker space is Craft Hall. So it's really about local ingredients, local brewers, local artists, and really kind of an ode to Philadelphia. Some of the stuff in the space is really iconic. We have Mummers costumes, we have old iron tabletops that were saved from the company that was in the space prior, Acorn Iron Company, which is really interesting. So you go in the space and you're seeing all of these really iconic things within it.
All right. So talk about the menu. Now, I did take a look at the menu. I already have a complaint, unfortunately.
Oh.
But you can talk more about it. And it's just because of my daughter. I know that you're supposed to be family friendly.
Yeah.
I didn't see mozzarella sticks on there. I know she won't be happy with those on there. But talk about your menu. What's sneaking up your menu?
Yeah, so we have sandwiches, sides, pizzas. I brought some into the studio. They're right over here in the corner. People have been enjoying them here.
They were fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, the smokehouse one, my goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. That one has sausage, smoked pork, bacon, tomato sauce, and cheese. It's delicious. So we have a lot of really fun options on the menu. And Lost Bread Bakery that's in our space, you'll see a lot of their doughs used for our sandwiches, for our pizzas, and then also at Morgan's Pier as well. So a lot of their products are on our menus across locations.
That's amazing. And one of the things that got me excited, John, because you know there's just a child inside of me, is there's an indoor playground.
There is. Yes, it's the only thing in the city that exists. It's pretty spectacular. You walk in and you're like, wait a minute, there's a playground in the middle of the space. And we're very family friendly. We really enjoy having kids in the space, enjoying the playground. We also have bunnies and chickens outside. We have a farmyard on the property, so you can check out the bunnies and the chickens.
Can you dine outside?
You can dine outside. We are right now coming up with some different options for bringing food out there. You can take it out.
Do the chicks and bunnies serve wait to tables?
They don't, unfortunately. They don't really have.
Maybe it's the truest form of farm to table there.
Oh, boy.
I'll take that one, please.
No, we do not do that.
So where can we get more information about Craft Hall and FCM Hospitality and all the good things that you guys got going on?
So there's crafthallphilly.com and then Craft Hall Philly on Instagram and Facebook. So look for updates and extra information there. We're also available for private events, private parties, with all the things that are going on in the space. It's so large that we're able to do a lot. Birthday parties, graduations, you can rent out the entire space for a wedding. It's a really interesting location and something that is really special here in Philly.
That is awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. There are definitely two of Philly's hottest spots going on right now, especially with the warm weather. They're just perfect for anyone going over to the city. You're really doing a disservice not to hang out at Morgan's Pier and enjoy the Delaware River and sometimes you just never know what could float down there, John.
Oh, that's true. For better or for worse. Right?
But then you can always go to the indoor playground when the outdoors get a little too hairy for you.
Exactly.
So, but they are two of my favorite spots to go, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And we also have someone else in studio. We're just packed today. Everyone knew you were coming, John.
I guess so.
They said, we have to be there if John's coming in.
That's why I'm here.
We have Itor Saasso. I know I got that wrong. We were good with the first name, weren't we?
You were so close, Derek. You were so close.
You were close, yeah. It's Itor Saasso.
Saasso.
But it was good. It was a good try.
Of Rosalie at the Wayne Hotel. Now, you are not open just yet. You guys are going to be opening in the space currently occupied by Paramore at the Wayne Hotel at 139 East Lancaster Avenue in Wayne. And tell us, one, why you chose that location and what Rosalie's going to be all about.
Well, you know, first off, thanks for having me. It's been something that we've been looking for. A place to open Rosalie. Rosalie is an authentic Italian restaurant, a regional, a little bit of soul food type of a restaurant. And the Wayne Hotel just happened to, become available, and we thought it was a great spot. I mean, where I work for Fearless Restaurants, which is based out of the Main Line. We have White Dog Cafe in Wayne. We have it in Haverford. We have it at University City. We also do Autograph Brasserie. There's also a few other restaurants like the Mouchaloo, Louie Louie, mm-hmm. The Deck at the Mouchaloo, and then there's some restaurants down at the LBI Plantation, Tucker's Inn, and Daddy-O's.
Know them well, yes.
Know them well, yeah. So when that space became available, the Rosalie idea was being bounced around to everyone, and it was really Merrick, the chef, that it's his soul food idea that is bringing us together at the spot.
Yeah, I was just curious about that when I was reading about it, the concept of Italian soul food. Can you go more into that? What would people expect with something like that?
Really, it's a regional Italian, authentic, like a Frasca-type restaurant where there'll be small plates, there'll be pastas. I mean, all the pastas will be made in-house.
Sure.
Everything will be traditional from that area. And it's no specific area. It really depends, if Merrick feels like, Umbria is a dish that he wants to find a dish from Umbria that he wants to, showcase.
So it's not just one region. It's going to be all over.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct, yeah. Awesome. And then we're going to blend that with, great hospitality. I think Fearless is known for their hospitality.
Sure.
And their people, and we want to just kind of blend them together to have a wonderful experience.
And where did the name come from?
Oh, that's great. The great question. Now, so Marty Grimms, the owner of Fearless Restaurants, his mother, her name, it was her nickname, and it's it's a Rosalie's a classic Italian, but it's like elegant, but also it's casual. It's approachable, I should say. So, and that's what we want the restaurant to be. We want it to be a casually elegant place to be. So where you can come for a celebration, or you can have a business meeting, or you can have come for a family celebration, or just come for a great plate of pasta, or just come for happy hour and have some great Italian wine. So we want it to be a little bit for everyone, and bring a lot of different people in to have a wonderful time at the restaurant.
That's nice. Now, something I like to ask everyone who's with a restaurant group, and I'm actually going to get to you, Jessica. I forgot to ask you this as well. Mm-hmm. But since Rosalie isn't open yet, you cannot name Rosalie. What is your favorite restaurant or location to go to out of all of Fearless locations?
That's a great question. Yeah, I love them all.
But
I will say that White Dog Cafe. White Dog Cafe is, it's like a farm to it's like a local farm, sustainable restaurant. That
do they have chickens hanging out in the yard?
No chickens in the yard, but I think down the street, maybe like 10 miles away, is where they come from. It's just the food is excellent. All three of the White Dogs are a little bit different, but they have a lot of similarities. I mean, the place is beautiful. Talk about, a doggy dog world. I mean, there's dog paintings and photos and different, we have a dog stapler at the podium that, you know, has all, it gets so many comments every day. So I think Wayne is probably my favorite, but that's because I've been spending most of my time there, you know, being in Wayne and getting to know, you know, not only the clients in the Wayne area, but also, you know, the staff that works there.
Sure. And with all that dog talk, did you know June 3rd is Yappy Hour at Morgan's Pier?
I didn't know until today.
And Jessica, now it's your turn. You guys have a lot of an eclectic portfolio. What is your favorite location that FCM Hospitality runs?
That's definitely hard because I like each location for very different reasons. Morgan's Pier is just spectacular as a seasonal venue. But I really enjoy Parks on Tap, also because the proceeds go to the Fairmount Park Conservancy Parks and Rec. So we're able to give back to the parks themselves. And I think that's just really special because we get to be in a different location throughout the season. Mm-hmm. And then Harper's Garden, their menu and our chef Ben Moore are pretty incredible. So if you haven't checked out that spot, I highly recommend it.
Well, that sounded like you were mentioning more than one favorite.
I told you I had a hard time choosing.
But all of these locations are wonderful, wonderful locations. And Etour, we cannot wait for Rosalie to open up. I mean, Italian soul food. Who doesn't love that? I mean,
we're excited. I mean, the space becomes available to us, I think, June 23rd. So we'll be building it out, and hopefully late summer we'll be able to open and, you know, share everything that we have.
Perfect. And that's Rosalie. That's going to be at the Wayne Hotel in Wayne, Pennsylvania. So thank you. But going from all of this fun stuff going on of different locations to visit, John. Eating is, it's temporary. You know what I mean, John? You're hungry.
You eat it, it goes. I know. Yeah. You have the memories, but it's not there in front of you anymore.
It fades away.
Sure.
So I figured I'd want to talk to somebody who can maybe do something on a little bit more of a permanent basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be Fawn, and he is a tattoo artist from Money and Ink. And he is appearing on Ink Master Season 12 as a contestant, and he's from Philadelphia.
Oh, all right.
So you know darn right who I'm rooting for. Fawn, how's it going tonight?
Hey, guys. What's up? I'm pretty good. And y'all?
Oh, we're doing wonderful. So I don't know if you were listening in earlier. We had Jessica talking about Morgan's Pier and Craft Hall, and we had Etour talking about Rosalie and White Dog Cafe. You're from Philly. What do you think about all of these locations?
I feel pretty good about all the locations. I love Philadelphia. Of course, I've lived here all my life, so I have admiration for any area outside this city. It's a beautiful city.
What's your go-to place for a meal?
I would say my go-to place, anything... Any place inside Renton Terminal.
Ooh, okay. That is definitely a good choice.
City.
Can't go wrong there, that's for sure.
Yes.
Any
place.
Now, you are taking part in Season 12 of Ink Master, Battle of the Sexes, and it's premiering Tuesday, June 11th at 10 p.m. on the Paramount Network. And you have the ultimate battle for a chance to win $100,000, an editorial feature in Inked, and the coveted Ink Master. Did you like that, John?
I like that.
I don't know if they pronounce it like that, but that's how
They ought to. Yeah, they really ought to.
Yeah, they ought to. So why don't you tell us what made this career of you wanting to stick needles in people and color their arms?
I won't call it considering sticking needles into people. But
that's what I call it, darn it.
I always had a passion for art, but tattoos took it to another level. Mm-hmm. I always was drawing inside school and doodling on my notebooks. And I picked up a machine one day, and it just turned me out. And here I am now on competing on this show.
What drew you to the show? Did you apply, or did they come to you by word of mouth? Or
I was actually recruited to the show.
Really?
Okay. I always thought about doing it every time I watched it because I was into tattoos. So every time I tuned in, I always was like, I wish I could be on this TV show. And one day they contacted me, and I was pleased to be part of it.
Now, I have to admit, you're talking to someone who does not have any ink on their body except from pens and markers and things of that nature.
Really?
Now I do have permanent scars from falling off my bike and all sorts of sports injuries. But other than that, I am unaware of the ink culture, but I know it is extremely popular. And also there's tattoo conventions in Philadelphia and things of that nature.
Yes.
Who is it that you admire or look up to in the tattoo world?
The person I look up to in the tattoo industry right now is a former Ink Master contestant and also winner is Anthony Michaels. I believe he was on season 7. And I look up to him. I respect his grind and his work, his lifestyle, just everything he do. And it's a few others that you may not have heard of, but popular artists like Steve Butcher and David Vega. I look up to them because of their dedication to the tattoo industry.
Now, one of the descriptions of the show, which really caught my interest, and this pretty much guarantees that I'll be watching this season, is it says, okay, each episode will focus on a different and distinct style of tattooing, and as always, while the artist's masterpieces will last a lifetime, so were the mistakes. That, I think... Now, how many times, you can fess up, no one's listening, it's just me and you talking. How many times have you had a mistake and you said, I hope this person doesn't know that this isn't the way it's supposed to be? Have you, or have you fessed up immediately? Or have you never had a mistake?
Honestly, of course I had a mistake, and that was when I first started tattooing, but recently, no. I take pride into every stroke I put on somebody's skin, and I make sure it's precise and deliberate onto whatever I'm doing.
Now, does it make you...
Because I'm a black and gray...
Does it make you chuckle when you see some of these famous people? Like, I think it was actually Ariana Grande, like a month or two ago, got a tattoo, and the tattoo actually said, like, barbecue grill or something.
Oh, man.
Like they get a foreign language typed onto their arms.
Right. Thinking something special, and then it says
thinking it's something special.
Umbrella table.
And then to come out to say, oops, that's not what it really means. or do you have a story of, tell me a story of something funny that has occurred to you in the studio, because we're talking about you're interacting with humans on a daily basis. Have you ever had that occurrence of the big strong guys coming in, he goes, I want this. And then as soon as he sits down, he faints. There has to be stories like that.
Well, of course I got stories like that, but nobody fainted on me. I never had anybody pass out or faint on me because I always keep them hydrated and cool. But I have had a situation where a guy came in for a full sleeve, thought he could sit for it. He was talking highly of himself of sitting because he had other tattoos. And as soon as... I think I was tattooing his chest, actually. Right in the middle is where it hit him hard. And next thing you know, he tapped out. He probably lasted like a good 45 minutes.
You said, that's right. I'm the boss.
Now, have you ever had a situation?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a situation? I always wanted to ask this with tattoo artists. Have you ever had a situation where someone came with an idea and you said, absolutely will not do that? Has there ever been a situation where someone's brought something to you and he said, I'm not doing it?
I have had a situation like that, but it relates to cover-ups and stuff like that, covering up a bad old tattoo they had, and I turn them down because I'm not comfortable with covering that, or if it's too dark to cover it.
Well, we definitely wish you the best of luck in Season 12 of Ink Master, Battle of the Sexes.
Thank you so much.
Which premieres Tuesday, June 11th at 10 p.m., and you know you got some fans over here because we're Philadelphia all the way.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. So
yeah, you guys should definitely tune in. It's a fun season. And it gets crazy. You should definitely check it out.
And you also have a panel. It's Dave Navarro, Chris Nunez, and Oliver Pecker from Elm Street Tattoo. So it's definitely quite an entertaining and prestigious panel you've got there to oversee the program. So thank you so much for calling in. Have yourself a great night.
You too.
Have a good one. Bye-bye. What did you ever think of that? Now am I the only one? Does everyone else have tattoos?
No, I'm like you. I don't have any.
I'm
tatless.
I'll never get one after hearing that story.
Yeah, so, none here either.
So Jessica, you,
I have one.
There you go.
Wow.
I have one on my foot.
That makes me sort of feel not as masculine. My fear always was that I'm a person who changes my mind constantly. And I'm like, oh, I like that. No, I don't. So has there ever been a time that you say, I wish I didn't, or did you make the right decision and you've always been happy with what you got?
Yeah, I'm very happy with what I got. I would like to get it touched up and fixed a little bit. I got it with my sister. So her and I are very close. We're 8 years apart. But she has the same one on her other foot. So we got them together and it was a bonding experience. Oh. So it was very personal and something that I can look back on and not regret at all.
That's very awesome. Cool. Well, yeah. I'm happy to hear it. I like to hear success stories, John.
No, I agree. Absolutely. Though the failures sometimes are fun, too. Just
failures are definitely more entertaining. Failures are definitely more entertaining. But talking about success stories and bonding, we have the perfect gentleman to talk to us now. We have Ryan Alvarez and Adam Marin, and they are the award-winning creators of the popular travel-inspired cooking blog, Husbands That Cook, and they have written their very first vegetarian cookbook named Husbands That Cook. They're keeping it. So they don't want to change the
name.
Stay on brand. You can't go wrong. How's it going tonight, gentlemen?
Good. How you doing?
Thank you for having us.
Oh, we're doing great. So we're going to split this up because I've had it before where we have two people on and then usually you're tackling each other. Who's going to speak first? So since Ryan's name appears first on my computer, we're going to go with you first, Ryan. So Ryan, tell me, what was the central part of Husbands That Cook blog and then the book?
Well, the book and the blog are really about us, our relationship, and our relationship through food. You know, a lot of the recipes in the book are from our families, from our grandmothers. They're recipes that were inspired by our relationship, our travels together. And so the food that we make is really a reflection of us and who we are. And we just love sharing food with people, and it's a way to express how much we care for people. And it's just something we love to share.
We've been together for 17 years, so we have a lot to say.
And some you just can't say.
Yes.
Now,
exactly.
Especially in a cookbook.
That's right.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to go with Adam for this one. The book is stated that it's vegetarian. Have you gentlemen always been vegetarian? Was that something that came about once you met, or is this a recent revelation?
Yeah, so I've been vegetarian for 30 years. Ryan's been vegetarian for about 20 years. And it's, you know, the book is vegetarian, but I don't think people would actually perceive it to be a vegetarian cookbook. They're just recipes that don't happen to have meat in them.
Yeah, they're not overly virtuous or healthy necessarily. I think there's one recipe in the whole book that calls for tofu. You know, we just like recipes that are delicious just for what they are, things you wouldn't even necessarily notice that don't have meat. Like, let's say, you know, a ravioli stuffed with goat cheese and artichokes and caramelized onions. You wouldn't say, oh, hey, you know what, this really needs meat. It's just delicious for what it is.
And also, it's mentioned for the book that the dishes are inspired by your world travels and represent the memories in the story of when you guys were traveling and how you fell in love and everything like that. And that reminded me that when you do travel, you go all around the world, that in America, we are a very meat-centric sort of diet. And when you go other places, meat is not really the centerpiece. Mm-hmm. It's more of a small addition.
Or flavoring. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Or if at all, I mean, lots of parts of Asia, for mm-hmm. example, meat isn't there at all. And I'll be the first to admit I'm a carnivore. I love animals. Not only do they think they're cute, I think they're delicious. But that's just my personal preference. But when I was in Asia, that was the first time that I truly, truly respected and admired the way that dishes were prepared. And I didn't mind not having meat. And Asia was the first time that that happened for me. Where in the world was it for you guys that was the first time that you said, you know what, we really need to start writing some of these dishes down because we have to tell other people about them?
Yeah, the interesting thing is, so we've been a blog for just 4 years, but food has always been an essential part of the relationship. We've been together 17 years, like I said before. So even before we had the blog, whenever we would travel, we would write these detailed emails to our family saying, oh, today we saw the Eiffel Tower, but we had these chocolate croissants in this amazing coffee shop. And we would just keep really detailed notes of our experiences. So it's always really been a central part of us.
Yeah, well, that's the thing we love to do when we travel is eat. I mean, like you said, you can go to these places, you try these different cultures, food. I mean, that's half the fun of traveling. I mean, seeing things is great, you know, going to beautiful places, but the food for us really is where it's at. I mean, because every culture eats, no matter what religion or race you are, everybody eats, and every culture has their unique things that make them special. And it's such a pleasure when you do get to travel and experience those things.
And for you, Adam, as well, traveling has been a large part of your lifestyle because you are one of the founding members of the indie rock band The 88. So anyone who is in a band, what do you do when you're in a band? Obviously, you tour. So for you, it has to really hit a note for you of certain areas that you look back upon with fondness and say, this was really a great thing that I had today. And as you said, you're writing emails and things like that. Have you been able to convince anyone in the band to say, hey, let's all go vegetarian? Because other people have tried with me, and I've had success to cut down on meat. But for me personally, I just can't commit all the way. But I always love to hear stories of when someone else can convince them. And I say, well, how did you do that? And they say, I don't know. I just made them a few dishes. And I said, well, maybe you need to make me a few dishes. Have you had those conversations with your bandmates?
Yeah, so Ryan and I are definitely both vegetarians that aren't preachy about it. We don't care if you're going to be eating a steak in front of us. Everybody has their lines, you know. We both happen to wear leather. We just don't eat meat. But we've never tried to convince anybody about it. I think everybody's body is different. We had a friend that was vegan for a long time, and she got pregnant. And during her pregnancy, she started getting these cravings for meat. And so she had meat, but I think she had to listen to her body. Her body was having certain nutrients.
Yeah, and then as soon as she gave birth, the cravings went away, and she went back to being a vegan. But, you know, like you said, everybody's body is different. Your nutritional needs are different. And so that's why we're not preachy about it. We share recipes that we love, and we hope that other people will love too. But we would never, you know, try to make anybody feel bad or preach or anything like that.
Now, how did you narrow down the book? Because the book, I mean, John, you've looked through it. The recipes are wonderful.
Oh, they're wonderful. Between the blog and the cookbook, I think they're both, I would use the word charming. I find it just very charming and it's really well done.
And the pictures, easy steps.
Yep.
I can't stand cookbooks that you go in and I'm like, are they talking metric system?
No,
or something?
Not intimidating at all.
It was very easy. And also, how did you narrow it down? Like, some of them are coconut curry with chickpeas and cauliflower. Fantastic. Yep. The island breakfast bowl, lemon barley soup, and this was one of the ones that I liked. Just the name alone, the first kiss, because I like things that are catchy. Because to me, I would mess with my wife, and she would say, "Well, what are we going to have? And tonight, we're going to have the first kiss." So how did you narrow them down? There had to be some that you wanted to put in, but the publisher was just like, listen, it's a cookbook, not a dictionary.
Well, it's actually interesting. So we were not chefs. We didn't come with a vault of recipes that we've been making for dozens of years. We basically came up with the entire outline, the entire book, all the recipe titles in one afternoon. We sat down and brainstormed, came up with this outline of all these recipe titles. We didn't have recipes for them, just title ideas that sounded good to us. And then when we presented it to the publisher, they said, this sounds great, sounds delicious, we want to do this book. So we just basically kept every single recipe from that one day of brainstorming, made it into the book.
And back to what you were saying before about just keeping everything so clear, that was such an important part of the writing of the book. We wanted to make it so when people were following along that they wouldn't have problems, they wouldn't be overwhelmed. It's actually interesting. This is Adam speaking. I used to not be into cooking up until about 5 or 6 years ago. The first 12 or so years of our relationship, Ryan did all the cooking. It just kind of overwhelmed me, and I just didn't enjoy the process. So it was incredibly important to me while we were putting together the recipes for this that they are super simple to follow, that people will have fun while they're doing it.
Even if you're a beginner cook, if you can follow the steps in these recipes, and you'll have a successful outcome and a delicious recipe.
And your blog, too, I mean, talk about wildly successful. We have two gentlemen in the studio, John, my co-host tonight. He's got eatinginsj.com. How long have you been at that, John?
Oh, we started in 2008.
2008. He was recognized by the New York Times. We've got Mark Matthews of the 42 Freeway blog. He was recognized by the Philadelphia Inquirer. What did it feel like? I mean, you've only been doing this, you mentioned, 4 years, and you've already won multiple awards. What was your reaction the first time that you were announced, hey, you're winning awards for this thing?
Well, it really helped with our visibility. After we were nominated for the Sever Blog Awards, which is kind of like the Oscars of blogging, only about a year into our blog, we were nominated, and that because we were nominated, that's why our literary agent approached us. And she said, hey, have you ever thought of writing a cookbook? And that initial email, led to us here today having this book. And it was truly because of the visibility, because of being nominated. So it has definitely helped. It lends an air of legitimacy to what we do, makes us seem a little more professional. But it's been very helpful.
Well, the blog is wonderful. The cookbook is great as well. I encourage everyone to go out and get Husbands That Cook. Check out your blog. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to share any social medias, websites, or anything like that before you go?
We're easy to find, husbandsthatcook.com, and people can find us on Instagram and Facebook at husbandsthatcook.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Thank you so much,
you guys.
All right, bye-bye. That was fun.
Yeah.
I know they're a great group of guys. I enjoy talking to them, but deep down inside, John, do you say, I've been at this motherfucking blog since I want some awards too, darn it.
Again, and I'll go back to it. When I was looking at their website, looking through the cookbook, it's just very charming. I just love the layout. I love their approach. So it's like, it's hard to be resentful when they're being so charming. What can I say?
And coming from the heart. It's not contrived.
No.
You can tell by what they're putting out. It's real stories of them traveling, trials, tribulations, and it's them putting themselves out on the line.
Yep.
It's not being phony. It's not Hollywood magic or anything like that.
No, it seems genuine. The conversations are genuine, and it was just, like I said, I really enjoyed it. So I have no issues with that. I'm glad that they're getting recognized.
What's the longest you've ever gone without eating meat?
Well, actually, it's interesting. Some years ago, when we were living in not South Jersey, also called North Jersey, my wife and I, we actually went through a period of time we did primarily do vegetarian.
Really?
For a period of time. Yeah, we actually got the old Moosewood cookbook from back in the 70s. We were using that a lot. So we had a period where we did that. So, but we eventually came back to
it. How about everyone else in here? Anyone else try to go vegetarian?
There's been a time where I didn't eat vegetables for a very long time.
it's kind of the opposite.
I will agree with that. I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, probably hamburgers and fries, and that was about it. And you couldn't find a vegetable to save your life. But that's the thing with also like the Italian cooking. Italian cooking really lends itself to having the fresh ingredients of the pasta and throwing a couple veggies in there because the sauces are so wonderful. I love Italian sauces. Well,
growing up, we would
or
have
gravy, for those who want to call anything gravy. I don't want to get yelled at by anyone, good Lord.
We would have multiple courses every night. You know, my mom was a great cook. She came over from Italy, and, you know, it would be a pasta course, it would be a fish course, whatever the case may be. So we enjoyed everything.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong. And also, as you go down to Morgan's Pier, can't go wrong with a couple of nice beers down there as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, it was interesting to look up the menu and see what the two locations are doing. I know Craft Hall just is open in March. And what's been the response so far since they opened?
It's been great. We have a lot of families coming in. When I stopped by there earlier to grab the pizzas before coming over here, it was packed with people. People are just really loving the space and being able to be a part of the playground and have fun. And we have parents that are able to just hang out and relax while the kids are having fun.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting change for that part of the city, you know, more family-friendly stuff. And it was really good to see that. And again, if it says a special request to me, if they could slip in mozzarella sticks.
All right, I'll definitely pass that along. But it's also an adult-friendly space. We're open on some nights much later, till midnight or even 2 a.m. So we have a lot of after-hours kind of entertainment that we're going to be introducing with comedy shows and Quizzo and some other things that are coming down the pike that we're going to be announcing in the next few months. So we're definitely finding other ways to bring people into the space and have them enjoy it.
Yeah. And also, I was looking at your cocktail menu. Now, some of those are also locally, use local ingredients. Can you talk a bit about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we use local ingredients in all of our menus, yeah. Drinks and food for our location. So that's really something that's important for the culinary director and our chefs is pulling in that local ingredients. Morgan's Pier, we have a lot of really interesting frozen drinks that are popular in the summer. We have our Rocket Pop, which is red, white, and blue. It's a layered frozen drink, and that's vodka-based. So it's really fun to come down there and have some of that stuff on a hot day, yeah. Especially when you're outside.
Yeah. Now, are you using any, like, local distillers for any of the hard alcohol?
Yeah, we work with a bunch of different ones locally in order to bring them in and have them part of the drinks. And then, of course, we have Mainstay Brewery, which is right there in Philly and in one of our locations. So it's really exciting just to have them. You're drinking a beer right next to where
it's being made. Sure.
Yeah. Same with Lost Bread, too.
That's the wonderful part. And I love Philly through and through, but there is another city, even though we do like to boo things from the city, like the Mets and the Giants and things like that, but you still have to respect them. And we've got a gentleman that you definitely have to respect, and that's John. Let me see if I get the last name correct. Serp, he is a lieutenant at Ladder 8. Did I get the last name correct?
You got it right. Yep. That's
oh,
right.
Man, look at that. He's a lieutenant at Ladder 8 in Tribeca, and he has been featured on Food Network, Rachel Ray Show, The Martha Stewart Show. He's even been a judge with Bobby Flay. And he's helped create the menu for Home Base American Bistro and Cocktail Lounge in the Merry Hill District of good old New York City. It's a pleasure to talk to you, John, and we appreciate your service. But let's talk about Home-Based American Bistro. So what is it, and how did you come up with the menu?
Home-Based is a bar lounge that's on 3rd Avenue and 30th Street in Manhattan. And as far as the menu, it's basically a kind of like a trip around the world. We have stuff from like some Asian influences, some Italian influences, some American influences with the burgers and the wings. It's a whole eclectic type menu that we try to, you know, make everyone happy with.
Now, when you're coming up and creating this menu, do the gentlemen at the firehouse, do they get to partake in all of these wonderful creations, and do they vote and like hold up different signs in the firehouse or rib you and things like that? And you say, well, that's definitely not going to go on. That's definitely not going on the menu.
coming from someone who's not a fireman, definitely, right? That would never happen in a firehouse. It sounds fun, but that would never happen. No way. The bosses in the fire department generally don't cook. The men do the cooking. So I'm a lieutenant now. So once I got promoted, the cooking in the firehouse is much less as it used to be. Like, we have something called a vacation meal. So I'll come in and I'll bring food in the day before I'm going on vacation and I'll cook for the guys. But other than that, it's generally the men that cook for the firehouse, not the bosses. So as far as the creation, that was mostly done at the bar.
Okay.
I did a lot of experimenting with the customers and with the staff and, you know, people like that.
So what was it that drew you to this location? Because obviously it looks like that they approached you and said, hey, we want you to join our concept. What was it about home base that you said, you know what, I really want to be a part of the project?
One of my fraternity brothers has owned that bar for quite some time, and they wanted to do a revamp and a relaunch and have it geared a little more towards the people that live in the area, and they wanted to just make the food a little bit better. The food was good at the place where it was before, but they wanted to kick it up a little bit and make it a little more competitive and make the place more of a destination to go to eat as opposed to just go watch a game and, you know, just hang out for happy hour. They wanted people to go there just to eat and enjoy the food and eat dinner. So that's pretty much what we turned it into.
What's the dish
with my menu now
that you're most proud of on the menu that you created? Because it sounds like it's very eclectic, as you mentioned. It's got a little Asian influence, American influence.
Yes, it is. I would say, I'll give you two. I would say the pork belly tacos, which I absolutely love. It's basically braised pork belly that we slice into thick slices. We cook it on the griddle afterwards. And we put a jicama slaw and an Asian barbecue sauce on it. It's fantastic. And the General Tso's cauliflower is the other one that I'm pretty proud of. Make a beer batter out of Blue Point toasted lager, and then we fry the cauliflower in that beer batter, and then we add a General Tso's sauce on top of that, and we finish it with scallions and sesame seeds. It's fantastic. People love that.
That does sound wonderful. My goodness gracious. Well,
it's really good.
I think we might have to make a visit.
Make a little trip, yeah.
New York City. I was just up there and saw King Kong.
It's really good,
man. Saw King Kong.
If you love burgers and wings, too, the burgers we have are a brisket chuck blend that's awesome. It's a really good meat that we use, and we have a couple different styles of burger that we use, and all the wings are fantastic. The wing sauces I created there are awesome, too.
Well, you can't go wrong with a good burger, good wing, everything like that. But it was a pleasure talking to you. We are so happy. And next time we're up in New York City, I'm definitely going to stop by because my mouth's watering. And John, he's got a towel underneath his chin over here. He's just drooling away. But it's Home Base American Bistro and Cocktail Lounge in the Merry Hill section of New York City. John, it was a pleasure talking to you. Have yourself a wonderful night.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Yeah, I mean, as much as we do battle New York, you have to
give
New York.
You can find
credit.
Some good food there. Yeah, that's all I've heard anyway.
I love the food in New York. I love going up to New York. It's just that darn Philadelphia complex I have from being born. You can't compliment them. You guys, whatever they have, Philadelphia's got better. Darn it.
Absolutely.
it's the way it has to be, John.
That's right.
It's the way nature had it. Even if we're in last place, we will not succumb to any of that nonsense. And even if Phillies are in first at this current moment, we'll take it for as long as it lasts.
Absolutely.
But you're on the border there, John. Are you a New York guy or are you a Philly guy?
Well, I grew up.
Oh, I heard the sigh. Oh.
You're in a room full of Philly people.
Look, what can I say? It's complicated. I grew up in South Jersey, so I'm naturally drawn to Philly. But I lived in North Jersey for a dozen years. I went to school in New York, so
right.
I have some soft spot.
Well, I'm going to add another Philly person to this conversation because I'm not having none of this New York talk. And that's Chef Barbie Marshall. She's named Pennsylvania's most influential chef by Cooking Light magazine. How's it going there tonight, Chef Barbie?
Chef Barbie.
It's Going great. Hi. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good. Did you hear that? That's John.
I'm actually here, Barbie.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. It's been a while since we've both been there. One day we'll have to get there together.
Yes, absolutely.
So can we talk about kids real quick?
Oh, Barbie, I've got one at home. What do I need to talk about? There's no discussion needed. But yes, all right.
Okay. 90 seconds. The brewery.
Yes.
What about people who kids to bring their kids to the brewery?
No, don't do it.
Because I was suddenly thinking about it because I found myself in a situation yesterday where I was at a brewery and there was someone there with twin toddlers.
Double trouble.
And they weren't cooperating. And I was like, you know,
whiskey on the gums.
Adults.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, you did. Round the microphone too.
Not really prepared to deal with children. And then I got to thinking, who's driving home? So can we just not take our kids to the brewery?
That's the one part that upsets me. Unless they Ubered or taxied or took mass transit, that's my big thing. Right. I give a little bit more leeway because I personally have a family, and I like to bring my son everywhere that I go. He's literally my mini-me. So, but if it's a full-fledged bar, no, that's not the atmosphere because that's where adults need to go to decompress. But, yes, it shouldn't be the drink.
Shouldn't be. And my kids would be bored out of their minds coming to a brewery, so I would, by all means, would not bring them there.
We're terrorizing the joint.
Yes. But I do love the topic, Barbie, and great job. And do you want to share your social media before you go real quick?
Sure, I'm at Barbie Marshall everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
That's Barbie Marshall everywhere, worldwide. Thank you so much, Barbie. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you again June 23rd.
All right, talk to you then.
Have a good one. That was a fun show, John. Thank you so much for coming
in. It was good to be here.
Yes, well, it was a pleasure. Real quick around the room, 10 seconds to say whatever you want.
Mark Matthews, 42freeway.com. Check us out on Facebook.
Rosalie's Regional Italian Soul Food, FearlessRestaurants.com.
CraftHallPhilly.com and MorgansPier.com.
John Hartfusco, Eating in S Jersey.
And we also had Fawn, Ink Master Season 12, coming up Tuesday, June 11th. Husbands That Cook, Ryan Alvarez and Adam Marin, go get their wonderful cookbook. John Serp of Home Base American Bistro in you know what town. I'm not going to mention it. How about that? I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. This is Small Bites live Sundays at 6:35 p.m. on WildfireRadio.com. We're syndicated on AM stations. Google it because there's too many for me to mention. And get us the following day on all of your Apple products on iTunes. And we end the show like we always do with a joke of the week from the legendary joke teller, Jackie the Joke Man Martling.
Hi, I'm Jackie Martling here for Small Bites. Quasimodo, the Hunchback of Notre Dame, is sitting in the kitchen when his mother walks in carrying a wok. Quasimodo says, good. I love Chinese food. She says, what are you talking Chinese food? I'm going to use this thing to iron your shirts. Follow me on Twitter for a joke every day at 4:20 p.m. at Jackie Martling. Sign up.